Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, Managing Partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Thomas Cooley, Chief Financial Officer and Director of the Office of Budget, Finance, and Award Management at the National Science Foundation. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Al.
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Steve Watson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Al, and good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.
Tom, can you begin by telling us the history and the mission of the National Science Foundation, and more specifically, the Office of Budget, Finance, and Award Management?
Sure, but I don't want to take a whole lot of time. I could spend an hour just talking about that. The National Science Foundation is a branch, an arm of the federal government. It was created in 1950 after World War II, after they found out how important science was, research and development was, to the mission of carrying out that war effort. Our fundamental mission is to support basic science and engineering research and education, primarily through colleges and universities, but we also have activities that are engaging profits and nonprofits as well. We currently have a budget of about $5.8 billion each year. We're waiting to get our fiscal year 2006 budget through Congress right now. What that translates to is roughly 35,000 active awards every year. We get about 44,000 proposals from principal investigators at universities and colleges throughout the country. We put them through a rigorous external merit review process. Each year we make about 11 or 12,000 awards. Typical duration of an award is about 3 years. Hence, we have an active award portfolio in the neighborhood of 34,000 to 36,000 awards each year.
Can you tell us about some of NSF's research priority areas?
Well, fundamentally, you have to understand that research covers everything from anthropology through zoology. And fundamentally, that is our role, that is our mission. We do that. So we have a directorate for biological sciences, we have a directorate for math and physical sciences, a directorate for engineering sciences, for example. But there are priorities in any era. And right now, some of those priorities are in areas such as nanoscale science and engineering. The public tends to think of that as nanotechnology and how that may help manufacturing processes in the future, how it may help the healthcare industry in the future, for example. We also have a very interesting research priority in social and dynamic behavior of people and organizations. How do we get things done? How do we get them done more effectively? How do people interact with technology? And what impact is technology having on our lives? There's also a very, there are some broad national kinds of things going on right now. We call them administration priorities. One is in the National Information Technology Research and Development Program called NITRD. One is in the Nanoscale Science Initiative. It's called NNI. There is also a very broad research program across the federal government in global climate change supported by the administration. It's important for policy to be set by the best science that we can get. And so in order to understand what is really happening in global climate change, it's important to get the research done. These are integrated government-wide programs where the National Science Foundation, NOAA, NASA, Department of Energy, the United States Department of Agriculture, they all collaborate and coordinate and carve out a unique piece that fits their mission. Then we put an integrated program together.
Tom, you mentioned some of these other organizations. How does the research and science supported by NSF complement the research supported by organizations such as NASA or NOAA and the National Institutes of Health? And how does NSF work together with these science organizations?
I think the answer is actually a fairly simple one. When one thinks of NASA or NOAA, one thinks of the mission that they have. NASA's space, put it very succinctly, NOAA's oceans and atmospheres. So in carrying out their missions, they have specific things that they're interested in looking into. Our mission is about basic research. So we don't have a mission that's directed to a particular component of the environment, the world, the population. What we try to do, and a very fundamental part of our mantra, so to speak, is the training of the future generation of scientists and engineers, so that we're not only helping to fulfill other agencies' missions by training the people that are going to be the scientists or engineers that work for those agencies, but we also do the kind of basic research that those mission agencies draw upon in order to carry out their own missions. So, for example, one of our partnerships is at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. We collaborate with them. We are interested in generally, you know, what is causing climates to change? How do you map weather? How can you use supercomputers to model weather changes and predict and forecast weather at a micro scale, which is going to be very difficult, but that's ultimately where people want to go. And so when storms are coming up, I'm not interested in what's happening in the general D.C. area. I want to know exactly what's going on in Columbia, Maryland, where I live, and I think a lot of people feel like that. So many of the National Weather Service activities that are carried out and for which NCAR participates, NCAR, as I said, is the National Center for Atmospheric Research, is through a collaborative set of activities that we have working with this center out in Boulder and with the National Weather Service, with NOAA, whatever.
Tom, thank you. That's a fascinating and certainly a broad set of issues. I would certainly be interested in understanding the weather patterns just around my block. You talked about the budget of $5.8 billion. Can you describe a little bit just the overall size of NSF and the skill set of the employees there?
Sure. I think the audience would be surprised to find out how small we actually are. We're about 1,200 federal employees with about 350 contractors who help us. Those contractors assist us in classification for our position descriptions. The bulk of our contractors actually assist us in the development of our hardware, software, and maintain those electronic systems for us. And then they do other things such as the mailroom, delivery in the building, support services of various kinds. So within the building over there at 4201 Wilson Boulevard in Arlington, we've got roughly 1,500 people, about 75% to 80% are full-time federal government employees. The mix of that staff, you know, you've got it all the way down from a GS-4567 kind of secretary program assistant. Usually, traditionally, there are people who are born, raised right in this area here. And then at the top end of the system, you have got PhD scientists and engineers working NSF from Harvard, Yale, MIT, Cornell, the University of Maryland at College Park, Wisconsin, Madison, Charlottesville, University of Virginia. We draw them in from all over. We have a mix right now of about 50% full-time program managers and about 50% rotators. And that ensures that about every 2 to 3 years, those rotators turn over. These are people who are actually bench scientists. They're out there at the universities. They're on the cutting edge, and they really know what's going on. So that when we get proposals in from the principal investigators, the people who are looking at those proposals, evaluating them, and trying to find people to review them, other scientists and engineers in the community. Our staff are really plugged into that community. They know what the hot topics are, and they know who are the best and most highly qualified reviewers are. From my perspective as the chief financial officer, that means I can tell the American public the proposals that we fund have undergone the most rigorous external merit review process that we can envision. Many people on the Hill refer to it as the gold standard, so that when we make an award with American taxpayers' dollars, my confidence that this is going for something that's really cutting edge, that could really impact our lives 10, 20, 30 years from now, is really great. I mean, when we look at the fact that research on transistors was done 50 years before transistors was ever used, sometimes the concept doesn't lead to a product for a very long period of time. And some concepts don't lead to any products at all. They're dead ends. And there's value in finding out that there's a dead end out there. It saves other people time and effort from pursuing what ultimately would be a dead end, and then go in a different direction.
Tom, you're the chief financial officer and also the director of the Office of Budget, Finance, and Award Management. Can you tell us a little bit about the roles and responsibilities of that position?
Sure, Steve. First of all, I think it's important to understand what it means to be the director of the Office of Budget, Finance, and Award Management. I have five divisions that report to me. One is the budget division. So we work with the administration and the Congress to propose a budget and then implement a budget once the Congress has passed it. We have the Division of Financial Management that oversees the internal controls and the financial practices that we use to ensure that every dollar that goes out the door goes to the right person for the right reason. The third division is the Division of Grants and Agreements. They're the division that does the bulk of the business at NSF because we are predominantly a grant-making entity. The fourth division is our Acquisition Procurement Division, the Division of Contracts. And they have the very complex agreements, things where we have a much more hands-on relationship with the entity that we've made the award to. And then the fifth and the newest division is the Division of Institution and Award Support. And its focus primarily is on audit resolution, where we have issues that have been raised through the audit process. And we have to find out how much money does the government get back because you didn't spend it all appropriately or maybe even misused it. And then our largest and newest activity, which is post-award monitoring and oversight. The focus of that is to ensure that if you get an award to do X, that you've actually done X and that the money that you spent on X was relevant to X. It's important for the accountability of the taxpayers' dollars. I think it's also important to the accountability of the merit review system.
Tom, that's a lot in one position. What was your experience and what path did you take to prepare yourself for that?
Well, there's a long story. When I was a young man, lo, these many years ago, I read a couple of books by some fairly famous authors who were doctors and physicians at the time. It got me very interested in a field called microbiology. And I was more interested at that time on potential for microbiology to help me understand how I might help humankind. As I got older, I discovered that microbiology touched all fields, plants, animals, human beings, soils, etc. So I majored in microbiology at the University of Maryland, College Park. Came out, went into a job and told myself, oh my goodness, what have I done to myself? I didn't enjoy the work experience. I really did not. I was very fortunate, as I have been at three or four critical times in my career, to have a mentor at that time. He was not my immediate boss, but he was a partner with my boss. And my mentor came to me and said, you know, there's something that's not gelling here for you, I can tell. He encouraged me to go back to graduate school, which I did. I pursued the field of botany. I got married. Things change when you get married. We had a little girl. And I had an opportunity presented to me. It was a career choice. I had one path or another. I could go to a postdoc at the University of Montana or work part-time for the summer at a place called the National Science Foundation in 1979 to write an environmental impact statement for what at that time was envisioned as the Ocean Margin Drilling Program. My family is here, my wife's family is here, and our daughter was 6 months old. And the pay here was twice as much as the pay in Bozeman, Montana. So I thought, well, let me go with this and see where it goes. They extended it two more times for a year and a half, after which they hired me full-time as a GS-11. I worked for some great people. I worked for Sandra Toy, Al Shin, Joe Call, all of whom had great influences on my career development, basically gave me some advice, pointed me in a direction, and then left me alone to see if I could really do it or not. And a couple of years ago, the director of the National Science Foundation at that time, Dr. Rita Colwell, turned to me and said, how would you like to be the CFO? And I said, only if I can, dot, dot, dot. And she said, fine. So I've been there for 5 years in this role. There are days when it's a lot of fun, and there are days when I'm glad to get home. But I think all of our jobs are like that.
Tom, that's just a fascinating start to just a wonderful career. How is NSF working on the President's Management Agenda's five government-wide initiatives? We'll ask NSF CFO Tom Cooley to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.